Lupin, yeah, Harry. Lupin, yeah, Harry. Lupin, yeah, Harry. Brothers and sisters, allies and friends, Guru Shisha, Happy New Year. I'm a little late in declaring that sincere intention because I've been out of the calendar and out of society and out of conventional events for 7 weeks. But here we are, back in this situation. So Happy New Year. It's a beautiful day on the Somerset Moors. And you are the genius of your own creation. So dream it differently. May I say that again? May I really say this directly into your receptive intelligence? You are the genius of your own creation. So dream it differently. These qualities in Ram Devi Stotram are magnificent. They're true, they're real, actual aspects of lived experience. They are whole, they are accurate, they're fresh. They're not poetic or fanciful. They're descriptive. I'm describing in this. You may not see these qualities reflected in the world around you or in people around you. Sure, such is the way of the human experience. But these are real things accessible within you and in the world around you, but within you. So, I say it again, you are the genius of your own creation. So dream it differently. May these things become manifest, actually and literally, in your perception, in your thinking, in your interaction with the world, in your attitudes, in what you see, in how you relate to these days as they come and go. Dream it differently. Lifetimes arise and fall, just like dreams at night. Whole lifetimes arise and whole lifetimes fall, just like dreams at night. Just like that, whole lifetimes. This is not fanciful. This is real seeing. Whole lifetimes arise and fall like dreams at night. I'm actually telling you, in fact. May I say it like that? I'm telling you. Perhaps it's better to say I'm enabling you, giving you the permission, in fact, the power, the ability, giving you the ability, the energetic ability to dream it differently. So what of dreams? What of dreams? What of dreams? If you, when you have a dream at night, and an ordinary dream, I say ordinary, but I think any dream is amazing. When you do dream at night, in what is that appearing? Let's forget all the terms of psychology and brains and neuroscience. Let's abandon all those words and let's just think. How is that arising? My eyes are shut, my ears are closed, my skin has no tactile sense, I'm not smelling or tasting or thinking in the way that we're used to thinking here and now. I have gone. All that has gone at night. And then a whole scenario arises, doesn't it? A landscape, people, interactions, things, colours, lights, tastes. There's a drama going on. In what can that possibly be arising? when your senses are all shut. You have no idea that you're lying on the bed. You've lost your body. If you died, then you'd never know anything about this body. If you stayed in the dream, that would be your world. So something quite extraordinary is going on. The fact that we don't give that more respect and attention amazes me, actually. It's a real indicator. It's a pointer, in fact. If you just connect with how stunning that is, I've gone, I've disappeared. I don't have my memory. I don't have my memory or my faculties. I'm not in command or control anymore in the way I think I am here and now. It's disappeared. And then, whoosh. Now, people will give you answers. I'm sure a neuroscience will give you answers. But I want to ignore all of that. Ignore it. That in which that is arising can only be said to be your imagination somehow. Somehow, there's an unconscious imagination. Somehow. You're not in charge of it. You're not there. Whoop. It's amazing. So that's a dream at night. So what about this then? What about this? Beautiful day on the Somerset Moors. These 25 people, this moment, your life, your journey here, your thoughts, your memories, all of it, you. In what is this arising? Again, let's abandon all words and thoughts about anatomy and biology and birth and conception, all the material physical answers to that question that drench our perspective. Let's abandon all of it. And let's look freshly at that question. In what is this incredible, vital, expressive, 3, 4, 5, 6 dimensional, extraordinary drama that we're all experiencing here and now? In what is that arising? Not your imagination. We can't say that now. It's too big. When you have your dream at night, we can claim that as your imagination, not this. You couldn't imagine this. However powerful you were. So in what is this arising? Well, we have an answer, don't we? We have a philosophical answer, which has been clear, strident, accessible, obvious, declared, solid, not subject to doubt. And it's the Vedantic answer we call self. Give it other names if you want. I'm not going to describe any more names. The self, right? So this has arisen in the self. So whatever that is, right? Whatever that self is, it's here right now as the very closest intimacy of what you are. Even though you don't recognize it cognitively or see it spiritually, it is here because it is you. So if we interrogated the Vedanta with the wonderful question, what is the self? Actually, before I say that profound spiritual question, who am I, right? Who am I? The profound spiritual question. What is the answer to that? And the answer is the self. It's just a word, but that is the answer. So when I'm going to talk about the self now, I'm not talking about something else. I'm talking about the actual reality, the intimacy of us, of me and you, the real, tangible first cause, the fabric, the actual fabric of your existence, in which this mind runs and all this stuff happens, and your character and your personality and everything, in that in which all that is actually happening, like a dream at night, is happening in and as the self. So, who am I? The answer is the self. So, what is the self? You can look it up. Google it up. That's what my grandson says. Google it up. Or AI it up is even better these days, isn't it? But in any event, if we analysed Vedanta, the world-renowned, respected intelligence of Vedanta. There's a few places it will say it really well. It'll say it in the Taittiriya Upanishad. It says it great. It says, the self is satcham jnanam anantam. Great. That's good then. Great. Now I know that. My search is over. My search is over now. Great. Satcham jnanam anantam. Great. You know what, many of you know what it means. It is very, very, very clever the way it's done. Satcham jnanam, it means existence. The self is existence itself. Existence itself. Stuff, things, presence, actuality, objects, subjects. The actual, there is existence. There is existence, nobody can deny it. That existence itself is one part of the self. The second part, jnanam, really means consciousness. Actually, it means intelligent consciousness. So, existence, intelligent consciousness. Put those two things together, how beautiful. Intelligent, conscious existence. Don't limit that to your little consciousness, right? But the vast. Phenomenon of intelligent, conscious existence. That's the second component of the self. And the third word they use there is anantam. Because if you just have those two things, existence and consciousness, all right, good. But what about when they die? Or when they change? Or when they stop? When they fail? How can I rely on the fact that existence and consciousness is, you know, reliable. It might break, it might stop. Its physics might change. But the third word cancels all that out because the third word means infinity. So these three things, infinite, conscious, existence, interwoven into how can we speak of it? Really, how can we speak of it? I am speaking of it. I'm allowed. But with, you know, gosh. Om Namah Shivaya. Infinite conscious existence. Infinite. Not ending. Not beginning. Permanent. Outside of time. So that's one great place in the Upanishads where it talks about the self. Right, so I hope you're taking this in because I'm going to tell you again several times, I think, you are the genius of this creation, so dream it differently. Are these things just words in the air? Are they? Are they just nice ideas that will stimulate you for a couple of hours? Or are we speaking about actual truth here? Are we actually getting right into the answer of the question? What is this? Who am I? Where has my mind come from? Where am I going? What is my life about? What was I? When was I born? When will I die? All these things. Are we getting right underneath all of that? And are we stating something utterly profound and dynamic? Yes, we are. So that's what the Upanishads. Then in another place in the Upanishads, it says it in another great way. Turiya, when it speaks about Turiya, is another word for the self. What is the self? What is Turiya then? Turiya is Shantam, peace, Shivam, auspicious benevolence, Advaitam, non-dual, singularity, oneness. Just, I'm going to say these words a few times, just let them fall into the root of your intelligence today. This, the self, you, reality, is Shantam, peace, Shivam, auspiciousness. Advaitam, oneness, not separate. So that's what the Upanishad says, those three things. But then sometimes, and I agree with this, a fourth word is added. It's not in the Upanishads, but it's added, which is so nice, it might make me weep. Maybe it'll make some of you weep. So there's a fourth component, right? I'm just trying to remember the three I've just said. Shantam, Shivam, Advaitam, Sundaram. This will make you cry. Sundaram, it means beautiful. Really, beautiful. Again, it's not a poetic word. It's not something soft or it's a literal expression of, take this in, the actuality of reality, its actual substantial presence. The actuality of reality is sundaram, of itself, pure, beautiful, shining, good. You know this, you can see this, you look up at the sky at night. Wow. You look into the love in your heart, wow. You look into the prayers you make, wow. You look into your innermost feelings when you know on a really good day, wow. You have your best meditation, wow. Walk in nature, wow. Ignore the news. I know nothing about the world, nothing at all. For 7 weeks, I haven't got a clue about anything. The news, take this approach now and again. The news is what's happening right now for you. Walk in the forest. Sundaram. Watch the spring coming. Sundaram. Well, the winter for me, I think the winter's great. But anything. Connect with the tenderness and thrill and passion of relationship. Sundaram. Express kindness, sundaram. So all these things are absolutely real. So you're the genius of your own creation, so dream it differently. May these things not just be ideas, may they be seen in you. Yeah. So that's how the Upanishads would say it. I think I want to say it. Hari Om to the Vedanta. But I want to speak. I do. I'm going to speak my own position. I'm going to describe my own position, if I may. I may. All this, every single detail, every aspect, everything, all of you, me, this room, everything. Every single detail of everything is divine. Is divinity. Is God expressing. I mean this literally. For me, it's literal. Everything. Pain, pleasure, upstands. The drama, the chaos, the wonder. The sky, the sun. Humanity, ants, this moment between us, this affection between us, this intelligence that's being spoken somehow, this fresh voice, is divine. Nothing, for me, truly, nothing you can point at anywhere is outside of that. So that's what I see. The second thing I see is unity, by which the Upanishads would use the word Advaita or oneness. But for me, this is an experiential, fixed, it's become obvious. It's tangibility itself. So this, all of this, which I said is divine, is singular. A singular expression of utter majestic power that is beyond. Of course, it's the way we can capture this, even in very intelligent, inspired words like these, the way we can capture this is what is 0.00007.45% of what's possible to express. But that's all right. If we store it all, we'd explode. So all of this is a single, unified wholeness, a oneness. I see that. The other thing I see is intimacy, so strongly, so all right. What I'm saying is interesting, but where is that? Where is that? Where's the effect of that in us? All this is God, great. All this is one, great. Where's the effect of that? Is it just an idea? Not for me. It's intimate. So intimacy is the flavor of the self. So what is the focal point of intimacy? How can you say? Is intimacy here? Where does your intimacy end? Is it at your skin? Are the things in the room not in your intimacy? Is it only in you? No. Every experience, everything you see, even if it's 20 miles away across the flat Somerset Moors, the experience is intimate in your own intimacy. This is definitely the case. It requires to be seen, but you can, because you're the genius of your own creation, so you can dream it differently. So you're sitting there having this experience. I'm my body sitting here, but your experience of me is in your intimacy. Always. Your intimacy is spread. You see, it's spread. It's not in your body, it's spread. It doesn't have an edge. The moon is in your intimacy, the experience of it. This is a big thing. This is the revelationary thing. And perhaps today the last thing I'll say about my position is this other one. Expression. We're meant to express, and we do, we are. So this world, nature itself, physics itself, is bound to express. It's not dull, it's not inert, it's not quiet. It's active. So the activity in you, the propulsion in you, the movements in you, the potential in you is wonderful. 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 Life isn't nice all the time, by no means. But the potentiality in you for expression is wonderful. So, you are the genius of your own creation. So let's use the capacity to express in beautiful ways. Let's make our expressions brilliant. Let's turn them towards these qualities that we sang about. Let's turn them towards intelligence and tenderness and sundaram. And where there are contrasting thoughts in the mind that may want to take us into old loops and old habits, let's defeat them. Let's dream it out. Of the four categories I mentioned in my position statement, unity, Advaita, oneness, is probably the most ambiguous. Because it's a common word, isn't it, these days? Oneness, non-dual, it's a common word. It's always been in the Vedanta, but it's a common word these days. But it causes awkwardness and tension because we do not see oneness. I see you, you see me. There's a room, there's a window, there's a door, there's flowers. We don't see, we don't know how to feel oneness. So we see separation, we see a million things. How can it all be one? How can it be one thing? Do you know, if we met like 500 years ago or 2000 years ago, whatever the current prevailing science was at that time, the physics, whatever it was, we would have believed it. So we'd be viewing the world from that paradigm. If we were born in with the Greeks, we'd be viewing the world and our lives from what the Greek philosophy and science was telling us. We'd be within that boundary, so to speak. That's important to know because science changes. So what they figured out then has altered. Different nuance, different discoveries have come about. So science progresses. And the reason I'm saying that is because I'm going to talk about science. So when we sit today in 2025, the scientific paradigm of the day, which feels pretty brilliant to me, is not the final end of the story. That's why it's important to make that point. It's very good. It's marvelous physics today. But it's, you must realize it's not the end. So there's loads of other stuff that no one on Earth has any idea about at the moment. It'll be discovered in the next 200 years and 500 years, and the AIs will find it all out before we do. And so it's important to remember that. But if we do just dive into the physics of today, it really helps us with this puzzle of Advaita, of oneness. That's, this here is my table. I like my table. I try to keep it free of most things. My granddaughter was here. I cleaned this room really forensically during the last few days. I like to do that, so I really clean everything in this room to very fine detail. We pulled out all the furniture, we tidied all the corners, we got rid of all the cobwebs. And I washed everything, so I washed all my rocks. I left them out at night in the rain. And so the moon was there and the sun. So anyway, I washed everything. And I washed all these crystals. And my granddaughter, who's six, was insistent about putting them back in a particular pattern. So we had a bit of an argument, her and I, about where, because I'm pretty clear too about where they should go. But in any event, it was part of the beauty. So I like my table. I like the things on it. But what are they on, right? Let's just think about this wooden table. It seems to have an edge. It seems to have a clear physical boundary. It does have an edge as far as we're perceiving it with our touch and our eyes and our understanding. It's an oblong table. We could measure it. But take this in. This table is made, is composed of atoms. The space around it, the air, is also composed of atoms. Your body is also composed of atoms. The whole room is a sea, an ocean of atomic movements. Our senses do not see that. Our senses see it produced in this way. But this is an absolute seamless sea of atoms. Now, an atom is an amazing thing. It's so tiny, 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 tiny. You can't even say it's a thing. It's more like an expression of energy, a wave. It's just like it's an expression of energy. It's something not, it's not like a little ball. It's not solid, an atom. It's an expression of energy. So this table is swimming with trillions and trillions of atoms that are configured in such a way that they seem to create wood. But the edge, what happens at the edge then? There's atoms here and atoms there. They're the same atoms with slightly different configurations. So there's not an edge. It's fuzzy. It's fuzzy here. These atoms slightly change and kind of work with those atoms, and they blend and they move and they fuzz. So the atoms in the air and the atoms in the wood kind of cooperate with each other. But there is not an edge. There's not. The wood and the air are kind of just like this. Similarly, your body. Your body is not separated from this sea of atoms. This is one seamless sea of atoms in this room and in the world and in space. Everything is like that. This is a way of conceiving what Advaita actually means physically. Even though you don't feel that, you feel that you're a separate, independent thing. Even the thoughts in your mind that say that, the chemistry in your brain itself, the synapses that allow you to think are also atoms. The only thing that isn't, in my view, may I say that? I can say that. The only thing that isn't is consciousness itself, which is a different category. But everything else, your body, the air, the table, the sky, Somerset Moors, every detail of everything, everywhere, is a seamless ocean of interconnected, flowing, atomic, energetic magnificence. So this is unity, you see. This is Advaita, this is oneness, literally oneness. And it brings you to this, I'll stop on this point, I expect. It brings you to back to the original point. You are experiencing a human life with human senses and human perception. The way your senses are speaking to you about what the world's like is not accurate. It's not a mistake, it's not wrong, but it's not accurate. So we cannot trust the senses to give us an accurate picture of the objective world. We can use the senses, and of course we do, but we can't trust what we see and hear and taste. It's not really like that. It's all right that it's not like that. It's okay, because it allows human life to be what it is. But it's not like that. Reality is far, 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 far grander, far more amazing, far more divine than our senses want to tell us that it is. And all of this can be felt, truly felt, perceived, recognized. It can be, here's the word, it can be realized. The self, as I've described it today, in the Upanishadic ways and my way, is realized. This is what self-realization is. This is what it is. We know what it is. It's happening. It's happened here. So that ambiguous term, which you may have been, like I was, confused by, thinking it was some kind of other dimensional transformation, some vision in space. No, it's this that's being described here, coming right forward into being obvious, self-evident, felt, actual, meaningful, true experience. Even while the human character expresses itself. Yeah. This is good news. You are the genius of your own creation. So over time, let me put that in, over time, dream it differently. Dream it differently. Come to know these things. Let me end with that word I threw in, Sundaram. 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 Beautiful. Sundaram. Beautiful. Sundaram. Beautiful. So I propose that from this moment on, you find the way to dream Sundaram into existence within yourself. Where you need help to do that, it's available here. Oh, wonder. Oh, wonder. Oh, wonder.